I've been intrigued by the symbol that appears at the top of the earliest revivalists. It features an open Bible with the word faith written across God's holy book, and a torch labelled fire is resting on that open Bible. There may be other explanations behind this faith and fire emblem, but it communicates to me how the fire of the Holy Spirit arises in response to faith in the Word of God. What there is no doubt about is that the articles contained in these 70-year-old documents are full of faith and fire. Underneath the headline runs this aspiration for the crown rights of Jesus Christ and the crown jewels of his gospel. And if these are going to be ardently protected and effectively proclaimed in this day, then we need copious supplies of faith and fire. The contents of the May to August 1951 edition of The Revivalist point to the fact that this paper was penned when things were happening. Page 5, for example, carried a report on Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church opens. The back page, 6, had this headline, Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church opens. Other articles, and just to catch a flavour of this paper, which was volume 1, number 4, The Downgrade is an article that appears on page 1. Modern Jezebels Headed for Hell on page 2. The Soul Winner's School, including the Soul Winner's Weapon and the Soul Winner's Work, appeared on page 3. And then Revival Theology, the Tongue of Fire, page 4. God's Blueprint for World Conquest on the 5th page. And then on the final page, the Welsh Revival was treated. What really gripped my soul was the main article on the first page, boldly entitled Church of God, Awake, Advance, Attack. It sets before us the ingredients for faith and fire. In past days, as God commissioned his men to preach the everlasting gospel, the first result of that proclamation was the awakening of the slumbering saints of the Israel of God. How could any army expect to win if half its soldiers were resting in their tents? O Church of God, redeemed by Jesus' blood, how can you expect to win in the terrific conflict if over half your forces remain asleep within their tents? O brethren, let the great command of Jehovah say unto the children of Israel, go forward, drown that countershout of the sons of Belial. Also, too often heeded today, to your tents, O Israel. May God send an alarm abroad amongst us today. How we sleep as souls are damned. How we lisp peace, peace, when there is no peace. Christian, are you tolerating things which defile and disturb and eventually damn? Half measures are bound to fail. In God's name, my brother, my sister, for the sake of a lost world, awake and get going for God. God's command is, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Church of 1951 interprets this verse and gives this new translation. Be stuck, unshiftable, always marking time in the work of the Lord. How that fitly describes the sleeping, lazy and devil-pleasing church of 1951. Oh, that we would awaken to see the awful situation into which we have come as a result of our own backsliding. Oh, for eyes opened by divine love to see the multitudes on the road to a never-ending hell. Oh, for eyes to pierce the dark clouds above and see the victorious one who died for us, who rose for us, who intercedes for us, and who is coming for us. Oh, for eyes to see the glorious possibilities for God in this momentous day. Church of God, awake. To awaken is not enough. We must translate vision into reality and thoughts into actions. We must advance. Alas, in our churches, politeness has taken the place of Christ-likeness. Formality has taken the place of sincerity. Ceremony has taken the place of testimony. Sedateness has taken the place of gladness. And golden syrup essays, the place of brimstone and treacle preaching. These religious cosmetics have got to be left aside. Away from such things is our constant aim, and away with such things is our constant cry. We must make a great stride forward in faith. We must dare to claim the mighty Everest promises of the old book. Old Billy Bray hit the bull's eye when he declared, "The devil loves the doubter, but hates the shouter." Oh, you timid Christians, digest that bit of oatcake fresh from the oven of one of God's billies. We must advance in prayer. Knee drill is an exercise the Church of 1951 is not accustomed to. Oh, that prayer would take the place of preaching. Their strength would take the place of weakness and souls, the place of sour faces. Where shall we advance to? Like Israel, we must advance across the sea of difficulty and impossibility. Let's expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. We must advance through the wilderness and not wander about in it until it becomes our graveyard. We must advance through Jordan and rise to walk in heaven's own light, above the world in sin, with heart made pure and garment white, and Christ enthroned within. We must advance into Canaan for holiness and service, for wars with victories, for fights with conquests, for battles with triumphs. Yes, and we must attack. Away with the kid glove of compromise. We want the knuckle duster of stern truth. How many Christians, by their money and presence, support churches whose ministers are half-damned modernists or jellyfish compromisers with modernists, whose missionaries bring damnation instead of salvation to the heathen? Modernism must be assailed. A Christian who allows any man, whether he be a moderator or bishop, to assail his Saviour without standing up for the one whom he professes to love is joining his hands with the devil and making a league with hell. Thank God for Dr. Carl McIntyre, the president of the International Council of Christian Churches, and his many helpers who were leading the vanguard of the forces of Christ against the church dishonouring and Christ blaspheming forces of modernism. Oh, that the Church of God would attack. Draw your swords, my brethren, and awake, advance, attack.